How many members in the Trinity? Three. And how many mentioned in the passage that we read? How many of the three were mentioned? So, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. But here's a question. If Jesus is the vine, and our Father, his Father, is the gardener, what does Holy Spirit do? Rain? The tools. What was Jesus' work on earth? Salvation. So his work was to save, and he did it where and when? He did it on the cross. And so he was able to say on the cross, it's finished. That was his work. What's Holy Spirit's work? Yes? So I prayed that at the beginning, that Holy Spirit would take these words that Jesus spoke, that John wrote down, that were then transcribed and then printed and now come to us today, that Holy Spirit would take these words and make them real to us. So that's the Logos and the Rhema. The Logos word, which is the written word, and then the Rhema word, which is the spoken word. In the following chapter, it's verse 14 of chapter 16, Jesus describes the work of the Holy Spirit. So don't think that the Holy Spirit is left out, because his work comes in the following chapter. And there weren't chapter divisions when John wrote these words. But John 16 and 14, we'll start at verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me. Holy Spirit will bring glory to Jesus by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So don't think Holy Spirit is left out. This might help you. Who remembers high school biology? Plant biology. Anybody studied plant biology? Okay. Now, I'm going to stand under correction here. I'm not a gardener. I'm not a farmer. But what I do remember from high school biology is xylem and phloem. Do any of you remember those? What do? Anyone remember that? What do? From the roots to the leaves. Which one does that? The first one. Xylem. Okay, so xylem carries from the roots to the leaves, water. And then phloem? Look, my understanding is this, that phloem takes nutrients from the leaves to the rest of the plant. Now, Holy Spirit, I'm giving you a clue there. What's his work? Because you didn't really answer that aspect. What's his work? And there's a clue. This is why you should always bring your Bible. Because it's not that one there. Galatians 5 verse 6. Sorry, Galatians 5 verse 22 and 23 say, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Yeah? Yeah. So Holy Spirit does what? What does he produce? Okay, so God the Father is the gardener. Jesus is divine, and the work of Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does, by you know, it's probably a combination of xylem and phloem and all of the things that I, you know, don't have the theology or the biology to explain. But he produces fruit. That's what he does. He produces fruit. I've got something here which you probably won't recognise, especially if you're listening to the audio. Anyone? Mustard? Cress? You can come and feel. Cotton. It's cotton. From my father's village in Punjab. Flower or fruit? Why? Because the seeds are in him. It's fruit because the seeds are in him. Okay? Don't eat it. Fruit is good not just for eating, but also for making what out of cotton? Clothes. So look, God is a gardener. God the Father is a gardener. What he wants is fruit. Now, our theme for the whole year has been building. So there's been lots of building stories. So we had a series here in London on building skills. We need strength and stamina and structure and strategy and a stature in order to build. But we're going to kind of shift focus from the construction world to the agricultural world, at least just for a while. We've got planted coming at the end of the month. And I preached 2 weeks ago on the biblical principle of, and all of you are here, so I'll say, that what goes around comes around. And that's not how it's written in the Bible. It's written in the Bible, what we sow, we will reap. What we sow, we will reap. But in common parlance, we would say what goes around comes around. There are some slides for this sermon, but if they're not there, then carry on. So who does the planting? The Father. Does the plant decide where it's planted? So let me ask you this question. Did you choose to be here today? Simple question. Now, some of you had responsibilities, and I have a responsibility, but I still chose. So whether you're on the rotor for whatever it was, and I hope you've noticed this, we're trying to give those who faithfully serve on the rotors just a bit of a break in August. And, Joe's teaching the children. We're trying to give... when you serve faithfully, you need a break. That's why the biblical principle of the sabbatical is one that we should practice. Joe's teaching the children so that hopefully those who regularly teach the children have a break. We're still in the God's building theme, but we're just going to focus on agriculture for this, you know, next week, and then we're going to have planted at the end of the month. There'll be no service here, there'll be no service in Weybridge on the 28th of August. So please come through, even if it's just for the service, please come through. God does the planting, and the plant doesn't decide where it goes, but all of us chose to be here today. Because that's another aspect of God that is true. He doesn't force or coerce, he doesn't twist us behind our backs. If you're in Shofar, it's because you chose to be in Shofar. Now, we chose because God gives us free will, but it's as if we can choose either to continue driving the car, or we can choose to allow God to drive the car for us. So I can say, the church that I would like to be in, the church I would like to be part of, would be like this. And then God says, I want you to join this church. Now, we still have the choice. But the Father is the one who knows which plant needs to be in which patch for which season. So if you're here in this patch, even if it's just a very short season, then you're here in Shofar, which means that the Shofar theme, God will have something for you in that theme. You might like the building theme, you might prefer an agricultural theme, and we had God's harvest last year, and we're going to go forward to the end of this year with the theme of being one. It doesn't matter which theme we prefer. If we're here in this season, if God wants us in this patch of the garden, in this season of our lives, then he has something for us. He has something for us. So God's the gardener, that's who does the planting. Where is Shofar? Even if it's for a short season, it's Shofar. You've all chosen to be here today. Why? Why does God plant? This title of this sermon is Purposefully Planted. Purposefully Planted. What's God's purpose in planting? Multiplication, fruit, harvest. Multiplication, fruit, and harvest. That's why seeds are important. That's why seeds are important. I'm just going to read Isaiah 55. Just one verse. Isaiah 55 and verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, so that and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So if it yields just bread, it will feed one person for one meal. But if it yields seed, then that seed can be sown. Fruit has seed in it, so that it can be sown, so that there can be multiplication. God wants a return for his work as a farmer, as a gardener, as a vine dresser. He wants a return, and the return that he wants is the harvest. So how do we give God that return? What does Jesus say in John 15? How do we give God a return for his harvest? You could give lots of different answers, but let me say this. Being, not doing. Being, not doing. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If someone remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Not doing, not trying, not striving, remaining in him. So how do we be branches? How do we be branches? Anyone? Here's mine. Anyone got a better? Why is my leg going one way and my arm going another? Come on, I can't do this for a long time. Why am I doing this? Yes, but what's... I'm doing it... I can only do it because my brain's telling me to do it. Why am I doing this? I'm reaching out to others. So can I be a branch in this vine on my own? No, it's if vine ripened tomatoes. If you take a branch, I don't know if you can say that branch about tomatoes, they feel a bit flimsy. But a branch that says, I'm going to do, and takes itself out of the vine will not produce. But a branch that stays in the vine, connected to other branches, is being. And Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's true. If the branch takes itself out of the vine, it cannot do anything. A branch needs to be. It needs to be in place so that its purpose can be fulfilled. What would you rather be? Food or fuel? Listen to what Jesus says. He says, my Father the gardener cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And then verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Fuel. Paul takes that further in 1 Corinthians 3 and he says, each of us should be careful how we build. And so we're still in the building theme. It's with an agricultural picture for this month. Each one should be careful how he builds. If we build on the foundation, which is Jesus, with gold or silver or costly stones or wood or hay or straw, our work will be shown for what it is. It will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each man's work. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. Fuel is just fuel. I mean, you can get it from anywhere. But fruit is fruit. Fruit has been fed by xylem and phloem. Fruit contains seeds so that those seeds can be planted so that the fruit can be multiplied. What we have to do is to be in the vine. But we can choose. Each of us chose to be here. It's a reasonably sunny, at least it's not wet, Sunday in August. And you could have chosen to be elsewhere. But you've chosen to be here. And some of you have travelled from Weybridge to choose to be here. Some of you have travelled further to choose to be here. Why? Because that's what we are supposed to do, remain. Remain in the vine. And if we remain in the vine, it's a promise. If we remain in the vine, we will bear much fruit. And what's the purpose of that promise? The purpose is so that we will be known as Jesus' disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus also said something else in John. How do we show the world that we're his disciples? By loving one another. And we cannot love one another if we take ourselves apart. So we stay branches. We stay connected. Even if I don't, particularly think that person who's next to me, my small group leader or my small group member, would be my choice. I stay connected because the gardener puts me where I need to be, in the patch that I need to be, for the season in which I need to be there. And what determines the length of the season? Now, not a cricket season. So the English summer will determine the length of the cricket season. In terms of church, what determines the length of the season? People will often say, I'm doing something or in a certain place for a certain season. The length of the season is determined by the fruit. So if you're thinking, how long is my season serving in this way, or how long is my season in Shofar, then ask God why, what's the purpose of his planting you here. Because then that will show you. And it's not a time, it's a fruit. So if that purpose is that you find a spouse, stay until you do. If that purpose is that you develop your leadership skills so that you can go and plant a congregation, then stay until you've been developed. For all of us, that purpose is to be discipled. So you might not know, you might not want a spouse, or you might want a spouse and haven't found one, or you might not want to go and plant a congregation. It doesn't matter, all those ins and outs, for all of us. Pastors, members, small group leaders, whoever we are, visitors, our purpose is to be discipled. In other words, to become more like Christ. And part of becoming more like Christ is to disciple somebody else. We're not a disciple until we make a disciple. We're not a rounded disciple until we make a disciple. Part of being a disciple is to make a disciple because what? Because fruit contains seeds, multiplication factor. God's a farmer and he wants a return. He wants a return. Jesus didn't come to earth for nothing. He came to earth to save. And that salvation is a process that continues. So theologically, it's past, justification. It's future, sanctification in heaven. Sorry, it's future, glorification in heaven. But it's also present, sanctification. Being in the vine so that we can be sanctified. So that the blockages that stop God's work through me can be removed, so that God can work through me, so that I can produce fruit, much fruit. And in producing much fruit, I show myself to be a disciple. Now, fruit can be numerical, or it can be non-numerical, but it's fruit. If there's no fruit, something's wrong. Does God prune? Yes, God prunes. Verse 2, he cuts off, the gardener, every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. In other words, we're all going to be cut. God wants a return, but he doesn't want just fuel. He wants a fruitful return. That's the purpose of his planting. And fuel, God can get energy from anywhere. But the fruit he desires is us showing ourselves to be his disciples. Is us accepting being pruned so that we can produce more fruit. But each one of us is going to be cut. We're either going to be cut and thrown in the fire, or we're going to be cut and we're pruned. Who likes being cut? You know, having your wings clipped, or being told, don't run with that initiative right now. I've not met many Christians who like to be pruned. But I have met Christians who accept pruning. It's not pleasant. Discipline isn't pleasant. Correction, rebuke, it's not something we wake up in the morning and look forward to. But if we want to be fruitful, then we know we must go through it. We mustn't avoid it. We're going to be cut, and we're either going to be fuel, or we're going to be cut, and we're going to be fruit. God prunes us so that we can be more productive. That's why he prunes us. So that we can be more productive. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, verse 16. Jesus says, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? By their fruit you will recognize them. We show ourselves to be disciples by our fruit. That's how we're recognized. Are we recognized by our confession of faith? No. We're recognized by our fruit. Is confession of faith important? It is. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, Romans 10, verse 9. But we need more than that. In order to show ourselves that we're Jesus' disciples, we need to be fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit. Holy Spirit's role, Holy Spirit's work is ongoing. It's to be fruitful. Jesus is the vine, and the Father is the gardener, and he prunes us so that we can be more fruitful. That's why he prunes us. It's not pleasant. It isn't pleasant. If you've been through it, you'll know. I've been through it. I'm going through it. But it's for a purpose. And it's not my purpose. Jesus didn't come and die on the cross so that David's purpose in life can be fulfilled. I'm here on earth so that God's purpose can be fulfilled for me. We're going to have communion. One of the great things about communion is it focuses very intentionally on Jesus. It's not about someone's interpretation of communion. It's not about somebody's explanation of the theology of communion. It focuses us all on Christ's work. It's very apt for us, if we're focusing on being and not doing, to have communion. What do we have to do? We have to eat and drink. It's not particularly hard. It's what the plant does when it allows the water and the nutrients to flow in and then through. Jesus said this at the Last Supper. Matthew 26. Verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. And then he explains, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And then he says, verse 29, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. God wants fruit. And Jesus' work was finished on the cross. And it's act and intentional, I believe, on Jesus' part, that we take, whether it's juice, non-alcoholic or alcoholic wine, it doesn't matter, but we take something that's a fruit from a vine to remember him, because that's what he is. He's divine. And he's in heaven at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. But Holy Spirit is down here. He's here on earth. We sang earlier about, I forget which song, heaven coming to earth. And when I was younger as a Christian, I used to think about, you know, heaven up there and then, and other and far away. In the same way that I used to draw pictures, and some of our children still draw pictures, and the sky is a line of blue at the top of the bed. But we know when we get older that the sky doesn't start up there, but it comes down to the horizon and meets them. And heaven comes on earth because Holy Spirit has been poured out on the earth. Poured out on all people. But in us, it's not just that he's on the outside cooling us down. He's in us because he desires to produce God's fruit in us. What's the purpose of the planting? The purpose of the planting is to produce fruit. So we don't have to strive. I want some apples. My apple tree. Come on! Try harder! Come on! I just need to be. I need to accept where I'm planted. I need to accept those who are planted beside me. Whether I like them or not, doesn't matter. The family. Get on with it. We don't choose our family. I just need to be, remain in Jesus. And he promises will be fruitful if we remain. If someone can, either who's in the back or sitting in the back, just bring the crackers and the juice. And just take time to be. We'll stay as one group. We'll not split into small groups as we sometimes do. We were singing earlier, face to face to dwell in your presence, God. And in the Old Testament, different people had to represent the people. Moses went up the mountain while everybody else stayed. And then under the Davidic covenant, it would be the high priest that can go into the Holy of Holies. But we're now under a covenant, and when we have communion, it's a symbol of that covenant where we all have access face to face with God. I've met the Queen, but I've not been in her palace right up to her throne chilling while she's there. I've not done that. We've had people who served in the army. Someone who's played music for the Queen in the army. But each one of us can be face to face with God. We don't need to rely on a small group leader or a pastor or a senior pastor or some celebrity. God wants each one of us face to face with him. And his eyes are such that he can be face to face with all of us at the same time. Dwelling in his presence, remaining in the vine. Being, not doing. towards the end of our time of praise and worship. But I think God gave us a taste of heaven. Singing different words, but in tune, at least for most of us. Being in His presence. We cannot be in God's presence and not be changed. So let's just take our time. And you might want to pray for someone, you might want to ask for someone's forgiveness. It's a good time to do that. That's what happens in families. Families that function don't allow hurts and offences to get in the way of the family business, whatever that may be. And God's family business is to produce fruit. Lord Jesus, we honour You. We honour You as the one who makes us one. We honour You because You are the head of this body, this representation of Your body. Lord Jesus, thank You for the vastness of Your body. Those who've gone before us and those who will come after us. Those in nations we don't know anything about. And thank You, Jesus, that You are a vine who knows how to produce fruit. Thank You for Your example. Thank You that You fulfilled Your purpose here on earth. And Jesus, as we eat, as we share one bread, we acknowledge that we are one body. And we submit ourselves to Your headship. Let's eat this together. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. Thank You, Jesus, that You continue to forgive our sins, that You take them far away, that You cancel the debt, that You cover, so that when Your Father, who is now our Father also, so that when He looks, He sees Your blood and says, acceptable, righteous, okay with Me. Lord Jesus, we honour You because there's no other way that we could have been accepted by God. But thank you for making us one body, for making us your people, for adopting us into your family. And Lord Jesus, for making that possible, we honor you as we drink together now. Just be in God's presence. If you have children, you don't need to take them shortly. But just be in God's presence. Respond however He might. Instruct or prompt if you need prayer. And please come and pray for me. Be in God's presence, so that He can do His work in us, and so that we can do His work through us.
Standing here in your presence, in a grace so relentless, I am one by perfect love, wrapped within the arms of heaven, in a peace that lasts forever, sinking deep in by grace, and all my heart is yours. All fear removed, I breathe you in, I lean into your love. Lift my head to see your glory, Lord of all, so beautiful. Here in you we find shelter, captivated by the splendor of your face. Our secret place, I'm wide awake. We're drawing close, stirred by grace, and all our hearts is yours. And all fear removed, we breathe you in, we lean into your love. Oh, your love. Oh, your love. Your love so deep, it's washing over me. Your face is all I see. You are my everything, Jesus Christ. You are my one desire. Lord, hear my only cry to know you all my life.
From Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return it to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. God, I thank you that your fruit in us will not be destroyed. God, I thank you even for the dryness of the past season. I thank you, God, for your purpose in that. I thank you that you prune so that we can be more fruitful. And God, I thank you for the pruning that you've done, even for the pruning that you continue to do, so that we can be more fruitful. God, I thank you for tough times. Sense that some of us think that the tough times, the dryness, means that God isn't working. And that's not true. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than ours. God, give us your perspective so that we can think as you think, so that we can see the ways in which you're working, taking us from one town to another, or from one country to another, from one job to another. But God, remaining all the time in you. God, I thank you that there will be moves, changes of seasons, but I thank you that we will remain in you so that your fruit can be produced in us, so that your purpose will be fulfilled. Thank you that the fruit you produce in us will be good to the taste. That people will not praise the fruit, when they taste it, but they will taste and see that you are good. That people will see our good deeds and praise you in heaven. God, I thank you for the different tastes. Thank you for blends. That when people come into this patch of your garden, they'll be able to taste fruit which is different to that they've tasted elsewhere. That they'll have combinations of fruit together which reflect Holy Spirit's work in us. Holy Spirit, thank you for working with us. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you that you're gentle with us. And we choose to submit ourselves more and more to your work, to your rule, to your direction and your instruction, so that that fruit will come. God, thank you that you give us stamina so that we will not give up, but we will produce a harvest at the right time. Well, thank you that harvest will be one which is not just bread for the eater, but seed for the sower. Thank you that it will go far to many nations. Thank you, God, that you take the seed, that you blow it and carry it. And it might seem to some of us that it's random and we end up in a nation we didn't expect. But God, thank you that you place us in specific localities, in specific neighborhoods, in specific parts of this city and outside of it as well, so that your kingdom can come in this nation and in other nations. Jesus' name. If anyone has a word that they think for the body, then please share it. If anyone has a need for prayer, then please don't leave the room before that need for prayer.
From Psalm 16, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
I want to thank you for the period of rest and holiday that many of us have had. God, I ask that those still away or off will be rested, will be refreshed, will be recreated, fit for this season ahead. God, I thank you that the rest we have had will make us more productive. And God, we choose, as Dom has reminded us from Psalm 16, to set you before us in all we do and to follow you. Not to get ahead of ourselves, not to try to get ahead of you, but to set you before us and to follow you on the course which you have prepared for us. Many of you are here, some of you will have heard. When we had the flood, one of the things that we got was courtesy water for drinking and cooking in Thames Water. And there's more downstairs, but we took some of this away with us on holiday. And even something like a flood, God has a purpose in that. And feel free to take one of these, just as a reminder of God's goodness. As a reminder that what he has for us is courtesy. It's because, it's not because we've paid for it. He just gives it. It's free. Come and taste this free living water. For drinking and cooking, for our needs, but those of us who have children will know that when we cook a meal, we cook it for more than ourselves. And God is the God over the flood. Please take these, and there's more downstairs. Living water that springs up within us as we receive and produces eternal life. Not from us, it's just through us that God chooses to. There's more refreshments outside. If you wish to stay in this room, just be for a bit longer then, please do. If you haven't registered for Planted, please do that during the week. Please stay around and enjoy some refreshments and enjoy being with each other.
And you will be. You have seen. And you will see. pieces.